Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So who remembers going to the doctor and having the doctor take that thing that looked like a popsicle stick and say, you had your tongue, you stuck your tongue out, and he was looking at your mouth, looking at your tongue. I think we all remember that. And when you go to the doctor, he's looking to check your mouth to make sure things are okay. And also, you can check the tongue, and depending on the color of the tongue, you can also assess how healthy the person is. And the tongue is an amazing thing. On average, it's only about 3.3 inches long. The longest tongue is around 3.10 inches, I believe. Or no, I think I have that wrong. It doesn't matter. But the point is, your tongue is amazing. It's a thing made up of 8 interwoven muscles. And with your tongue, we can do a number of things. As Cruz pointed out, you can lick an ice cream cone. That's a very important thing. And you can taste the ice cream. We can use our tongue for tasting. But another very important thing is the use of the tongue for speech. As one who studied voice for a number of years and studied the function of the tongue is integral in the formation of vowels. Your tongue position will indicate or will make different vowel sounds. And also, your tongue is very important for the use of consonants. Try to do consonants without your tongue, and you'll find it incredibly difficult. Your tongue is valuable, and it's also very powerful. James, in his epistle, talks about the tongue, and he has some very interesting words for us, which we're going to look at. Perhaps it's time for a tongue checkup today. James chapter 3, verse 1, James says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to also bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things." There's a lot going on there. One thing I want to point out is that the tongue, the use of your tongue, can be an indicator of spiritual health, not just physical health. And how often does our tongue reflect the thoughts that are in our mind? If you think about it, you start with the thoughts, and then they manifest themselves into words. And you can hide things for a while, but eventually you can tell something about an individual by the way they speak, by what they say. And you know those moments where you've gotten upset, something's happened, and you thought you had your tongue under control, but when in the moment when you're angry, in the moment when you are frustrated, all of a sudden this stuff comes out from your tongue and your mouth, and people say, "Oh, wow." And you say, "Oh, wow." The tongue can be an indicator of the spiritual health because it's a reflection of what is in our hearts and our minds. And the tongue is a very powerful thing, James points out. That's why he says not many should become teachers. We don't know the situation that was going on completely where James was speaking, but it could be that a lot of people were thinking it would be a great idea if they got up and said something wise. But the truth of the matter is that there's a very powerful responsibility when it comes to teaching. And when I read that, it's very, very sobering for me as well. Those of you that are teachers, you know the influence that you have or have had upon your students, whether you've meant to or not. It's a very powerful thing. You think about the way in which people's tongues have had influence in society. I think for a moment of the reformers, especially we're talking about Martin Luther a bit this morning, and how the power of the tongue and that those words spoken and then spread to the page ignited something tremendous. The tongue, though it's very small, is very mighty. And James gives these wonderful analogies. I like the one about the horse and the bit. I know some of you have ridden horses. You know about horses. And it's pretty incredible how you can control a large, large horse with a small bit. Now, let's say you've got a big horse, a horse that's over 2,000 pounds. Now, those are big horses. But you can control a 2,000-pound horse with a 6-inch piece of metal placed between their teeth that only weighs about 2 and 2.5 pounds. And that little thing, connected with all the other horse apparatus, of which I know little about, You can move a giant animal weighing over 2,000 pounds in the direction that you want it to go. And then also James speaks of this analogy of the rudder of a ship. Now, when I'm thinking of a rudder of a ship and a ship, I'm thinking of a big ship. Some of you have heard about the Royal Caribbean cruise liner. It is the largest cruise liner in the world, and it weighs 228,000 tons. Okay, it's a big ship. It's at 1,188 feet long and over 215 feet wide, capable of carrying over 6,600 passengers. Very big ship. But what's very interesting is if you go into the control room of that ship, you have the pilot. And there, the pilot, with one finger, can take his hand and push over the control knob, which controls the rudder of the ship, and that giant, massive floating city can turn as the pilot takes his finger and pushes over the ship using the power of the rudder. You know, what's interesting is we allow when we drive cars, we need license to drive cars, and yet there are no licenses for that thing which is inside your mouth. And yet this thing inside your mouth, the tongue, is more powerful than a car, is more powerful in its ability, but also in its destructive power. And that's what James points out. He says that the tongue, though it be small, it's mighty. And he talks about the destructive potential of the tongue. And he likens it to a forest fire. And boy, what a fitting analogy for us as we think about what's happened this past summer. Right? We've heard about the forest fires, and my hometown is a half hour from where the Carr fire was, the C-A-R-R, the Carr fire, which was ironically started by a car as it got a flat tire. It was a trailer, and the flat tire happened, and the rim of the car hit the ground, and sparks came out, and those sparks, little sparks, started a giant fire, which burned over 1,000 structures and over 163,000 acres because of some sparks that came from this fire. And this is, listen to what James says about the tongue. James chapter 3, verse 5, "How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell." Those are some very sobering words, but we see it play out in history. One example that we hear about in the history books is the example of the Nazi regime with a guy by the name of Hitler. Hitler's tongue was probably only about 3.3 inches long. Very small tongue. And yet we know the power of destruction as those ideas spread by the tongue turned into a giant fire that led to the death of millions of people. You can find videos of Hitler, sharing his stuff to all these leaders. There's this one scene where Hitler is up there and he's speaking to thousands of military leaders and he's passionately shouting his regime, his ideas, and this ignited something that led to the death of millions of people. How about our tongues? How are our tongues doing? I think we know about the destructive power of the tongue. We've experienced it in our own lives, either receiving those words or giving those words. Harsh words spoken at school, words of bullying that maybe you received. You know that old adage, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me." It's not true at all. There may be words that you heard as a very small child that have still stuck with you and have actually guided the course of your life because you've led into the lie that was given to you as a small child. The words can be very, very powerful and destructive, and they can spread. And how about our words? How about those words that you have spoken in anger? or you have started cussing someone out, or you have said something that you purposefully were trying to demean because you were trying to make yourself feel better about yourself. Maybe initially, unintentionally, you realize that all of a sudden your mouth has spewed forth sparks that have spread. There can be words of gossip, words of slander that have literally destroyed people's vocations and their lives because words have been spoken in a negative way. Maybe you've experienced it. Maybe you have been the one who have spoken those words. James chapter 3, verse 7 speaks about the untamed tongue. He says, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." If you look at the front of your bulletin, you'll see a picture, probably one of the first cat pictures on the front of a bulletin that I've seen for a long time. But it fit well, I thought. And if you've ever owned a cat, you realize that you actually don't own the cat. The cat owns you. At least that's what I hear sometimes from cat owners. And if you've tried to tame certain animals, you know how difficult it can be. And to some extent, you can tame certain animals. But James points out that no one can tame the tongue. And as you've dealt with your own tongue, or you've dealt with the tongues of people in your family, in your workplace, and other places, you realize how wily and restless and how difficult the tongue can be. So who can tame the tongue? Not us. We can't tame the tongue. James points out the duplicity. And he says, this shouldn't be, folks. James chapter 3, verse 9, he speaks of the tongue and he says, "With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." He says, look, this shouldn't be so. We should not have these forked tongues that are on the one hand in church on Sunday, blessing the Lord and praising Him, and then on Monday we're cussing someone out or demeaning them. James chapter 1:26, earlier he speaks about the tongue and he says, "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless." So we can't tame the tongue. But we have someone who can. We have someone who gives us a new tongue. The readings are amazing how, if you'll notice the readings, they all relate to the tongue in one way or another. Maybe you noticed that. But the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah chapter 50 speaks about one who has been given the tongue, a righteous tongue. This is speaking of our Messiah, Jesus. Isaiah 50 says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting." Who is this speaking of? This is speaking of your Savior, your Messiah, Jesus. Unlike you and me, unlike our tongues, which have spewed out poison, which have hurt and caused problems, we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, whose tongue spoke healing, that spoke truth. In the New Testament, the gospel lesson from Mark, we hear about Jesus who heals a man who has a tongue that is not working. And we see the Lord restoring. We see the Lord transforming. We see the Lord changing. That's why he went to the cross. And think about this. When Jesus was on the cross, his tongue spoke these words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In the midst of being tortured, in the midst of being on a cross in excruciating pain, Jesus did not curse, but he asked, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And it was Jesus, his words, his tongue spoke these words on your behalf. He said these words, "It is finished." It didn't mean, oh, I'm going to die now. No, Jesus meant, it is accomplished. What I have set out to do as the Messiah has been fulfilled. I have come to save, to redeem, to buy back. And that's what Jesus did. He accomplished this for you upon the cross. And it is God's word for you which changes not only the heart, but also the tongue, which is connected to the heart. Jesus' words for you that you are forgiven, that you are loved, that you are a precious, baptized child of God. It is Jesus' words given and shed for you. And with that change of heart brought about by the Holy Spirit, as in Sunday school we said, it's not by our own reason or strength, it's by the Holy Spirit that we believe, that then our mouths declare the praises of our God. That as I talked in the children's message, no longer is our tongue an instrument for destruction, but rather it is used by the Lord. The Lord takes the tongue, He transforms the tongue, and He tames the tongue for His praise and glory. And that can be spoken about your tongue. About your tongue, that little 3.3-inch long tongue. God can use it for His plans and His purposes. There's a prayer that I really like. It comes from the Psalms. I remember back in school, when I was in college, I went to evening prayer services, and also at seminary, evening prayer services. And in one of the sections of the service, it's a sung version of this psalm, Psalm 141. Let my prayer rise before you as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch before my mouth, O Lord. Set a watch before my mouth, O Lord, and guard the door of my lips. Let not my heart be inclined to any evil thing. It's a wonderful prayer. I love that. And it still sticks with me to this day. And there are times as I'm preparing for sermons, as I'm working through ministry, I pray that prayer, asking the Lord that He would guard and guide my lips. The scriptures speak about the tongue being used for gracious things. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Ephesians 4:29 says these words, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Now, think about what a blessing our tongues can be. We come across that individual who's having a difficult, rough day, whether at work or at school, in the home. And as the Lord prompts us, as the Holy Spirit is at work, we get to speak words of encouragement, asking, hey, how are you doing? Is there something that I can pray about for you? Reminding them, you know what, I just wanted to remind you that you are precious, that you're valuable, you're not an accident. I want to remind you that Jesus loves you. I want to remind you that you are forgiven in Christ. There are many ways in which our tongue can be used to proclaim the word of God among colleagues and classmates and spouses and people in our lives. Imagine how that would transform. You know, we talk about the grapevine sometimes, like things going through the grapevine. Often that's in a negative way. And sadly, often gossip and slander can go through the grapevine. But what if there was a positive grapevine? What if as the words, these positive words are being spoken, that it would spread? As we, or those of you that are as grandparents and parents, speak words of our Lord, how that would spread into the lives of your children and your grandchildren. And then they would be encouraged to spread those words. And the truth of the matter is that God looses our tongue. He frees our tongue to declare His praises. Psalm 51 says, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And as we will soon sing, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, thy glories, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. To God all glory, praise, and love be now and ever given by saints below and saints above, the church in earth and heaven. May this be to the praise and glory of our God, tongues transformed to his praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.